This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Thank you very much for having a listen to episode 10. We made it to double figures, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. I'm Tim and the usual crew are here. JB.
Hi, Tim.
Hello, I'm Phil.
Hi, Tim.
Right then, I want us to kick off by spending all the time that we feel is necessary to round up all the important action and all the interesting aspects from the LV Cup. Okay, I'm glad that's got we've dealt with that one then. Let's move on.
Let's start with the big match this weekend, Japan-Russia.
biggest match of the weekend.
Yep.
Because we were there.
Indeed, we were.
Yeah, Egg Chasers were on tour, so I wasn't there.
Well, it was our first official Egg Chasers match, live match viewing, maybe?
Quite disappointing. I missed it, to be honest. But
yeah, we had our little media tops on, and yeah. It's quite cool, actually. Still pretty nervous to walk into the media bit in case we were exposed as frauds and immediately kicked out. But no, it went okay. The Welsh legend Rupert Moon was there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. In case anyone doesn't know, Japan played Russia at Aries Park, which is home of RGC.
Before you carry on, can I just reassure people, we are going to get into the proper matches. Yeah. It's just that these two were overwatching that. So how was it anyway? How was the game? I don't even know what the result was.
Japan won 40 points to 13.
Okay.
Both teams were kind of quite stereotypical, as you'd expect. The Russian team were bigger.
Arrived in tanks.
Japanese team were smaller on average, but much better drilled.
Arrived in fighter planes.
Yeah.
And so the Russians' bigger pack allowed them to kind of hold their own in the first half. And I think it was 13-all at half-time. But then the fitness and the better drilling of Japan.
I thought, yeah, Japan's set piece looked ace.
The lineout was superb, wasn't it? And the ball handling through the three quarters as well. Very, very impressive.
Look at us being all grassroots.
Yeah. Hear me now, believe me later. The Japanese 15 is going places.
And the Japanese 13. Both were good.
What about the stash? You got to see it up close.
Oh.
Two lovely kits.
Wow. Russia. The Russian kit is, it's got a kind of this air of imperial greatness. It's got like the golden eagle right in the middle.
Oh, nice.
It looks Stalin-esque, actually.
Canterbury as well. Both kits were Canterbury.
Is it Canterbury?
Yeah.
Historically, I've never been a fan of Canterbury, but the more I see their newer stuff, the more I like it. England's kit, I really like.
Yeah. Canterbury's biggest mistake or biggest faux pas was when they made Portsmouth Football Club shirts. Horrendous. And they basically dressed David James in like what looked like a island kit, but with the Portsmouth badge.
The kits are really good, like the South African kit.
Good stuff. Yeah,
before we leave Japan, Russia.
Yeah.
The Welsh tannoy operator was struggling.
Jay, stop clicking your pen.
Sorry.
Go on, Phil, carry on.
The Welsh tannoy operator was struggling to pronounce some names from both teams. And just into the second half, when Japan had scored their second try, I think it was, he said, one of the Japanese fellows has scored. Let me have a look at this. It's Michael Broadhurst, New Zealander convert to Japan, had scored.
And at one point, the commentator came out with, the Russian fella has just been replaced by another Russian fella, and the Japanese fella has just been replaced by another Japanese fella. Really making them feel welcome there.
Yeah.
Love it, love it.
Oh, right. Hang on, one last thing.
Yeah.
the food, the concession stand. I went to what looked like a nice locally owned concessions van called Welsh Roast Lamb Company. And I went up there and it had all these things which I wanted. So like roast lamb and leeks, roast lamb something, which had all been crossed out and replaced by burger and chips.
Oh, no.
Pie and chips.
Yeah, pie and chips.
Oh,
battered
God.
Sausage and chips. Where's the lamb?
But a good road trip for Egg Chasers then.
Yes.
Very good first outing.
Maybe a few more.
Yeah. And it was my first international match.
Yeah, amazingly.
Ever?
First rugby union. I've been to a few rugby league, but never a rugby union one before.
Wow. Huh? Let's look at the rest of the internationals, because there was some huge stories, both on and off the field. I'll tell you what would be easier is if we just quickly skirted and touched upon some of the ones that maybe don't have as much juicy stories to go with, like Scotland getting pumped by South Africa.
Scotland,
I think we all saw that coming.
Scotland were wearing a kit, which if I saw for sale in a market stall, I would think was a fake. This is that bad.
I would think it's like 30 years old. It looks
just horrendous.
Dreadful. It's awful, isn't it?
It's ruined, single-handedly ruined, the golden age of kits.
Even that can't ruin the golden age of kits.
No, we are living in the golden age of kits, and even Scotland's best efforts to bring that down can't do that, because they had a great South Africa kit against them and a good South Africa.
It looks like
powerful South Africa.
It looks
team.
Like the kit you used to get on Pro Evolution Soccer when they didn't have the rights to certain teams.
You're absolutely right.
Horrendous.
Wales hammered. Well, I mean, I don't know. You've got a different opinion on this, Jay. I would have described it as Wales put to the sword and hammered a sorry-looking Argentina.
Yeah, Wales ran out comfortable victors in the end. However, I would say first half, Argentina looked like the better team. Certainly going forward, they were a lot more fluid, a lot more diversity in their attack. They had a new young winger who nearly scored a wonder try.
Yeah.
It was quite fantastic.
Santiago Cordero.
Yeah.
He looked superb, really fast feet. Stepped half the Wales team at one point.
Yeah. And of course, the commentators came up with the old, good old cliche, a sevens player. There's his sevens experience.
Yeah.
Just because he's a fast winger. I think they just kind of folded.
And they're tiring up. You could see they were tiring.
But games are played over 80 minutes, and the same thing with England. You know, England had a really strong 60 minutes, and then were undone by
England.
20 minutes of New Zealand just turning the screw. An underperforming New Zealand team still won.
England did exactly as I predicted, which is they're going to be boring and they're going to give you a solid 7. A 7 out of 10.
But you're saying that with a sort of disdain in your voice. Where
7
I,
out of 10, that's what
I say, like, look at the players that are available. Do England have the players to do anything different?
No. I thought England was up front promising, in the backs disappointing.
Mm.
But even so, it was still only 3 moments of magic that won it for New Zealand.
Yep.
And had one of those balls not gone to hand, the Kieran Reid offload, the Israel Dagg step and go and pass to Kieran Reid.
Well,
and then the
you said, I think I might have some money on Kieran Reid to score another try, did you?
Yes. I said it in the Thank Rookets Friday. Stupidly, I didn't actually put any money on it.
Can someone tell me what the secret is to Kieran Reid? He looks like just a normal bloke.
We were saying this on Saturday, weren't we?
What is the deal? He is just a normal guy who wears an All Blacks kit and scores tries left, right and centre. Probably best number 8 in the world at the moment.
He's definitely the best number 8 in the world. He's the best player
in
the world.
One of the best players.
I'd say he's...
Looks like a guy.
He's an absolute shoo-in for the IRB Player of the Year.
If he worked in my office, he'd look like maybe the biggest guy in the office, but not like
even with you in there, Jay.
An international rugby union player.
This is what I do like sometimes, is the speed of thought and the natural skill with the hands. Like, again, you could be as big as you want. You could be James Haskell and lift however many kilos in the gym. But James Haskell would not have done that inside flick to Surveyor.
To Surveyor, yeah.
He would not. He just wouldn't have done. He couldn't have done. And that's skills and that's timing. And he just always seems to arrive at the right place in the right time and make the right decision.
He's quite incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was superb. There was also in the match, Carter's 100th cap.
Mm.
Question. 3 other players also recorded their 100th cap at the weekend. Can you name them?
What? 3 other players recorded their 100th cap?
This weekend, just gone.
Oh, right.
I would have probably guessed an Argentinian prop, maybe.
Nope.
Bod?
Nope. He's on about 130.
80, isn't he?
180. Wow, is he? There aren't many Aussies that have been around that long, are there?
No. Wales? Have Wales got anyone?
There is one from Wales.
Is there?
Yes. It's quite astonishing that he's managed...
Gethin Jenkins.
Gethin Jenkins.
No, wow.
I thought Gethin Jenkins was on his 99th on the weekend.
That was his 100th.
He only plays international rugby. That's how he's managed to get that.
So he's on his 100th test match, but 110th game.
And the other two were both in the...
Habana?
Italy-Fiji match.
Oh, okay.
You know, who knows?
They're Bergamasco.
Not Bergamasco. They're the two biggest names.
Parise. I know we're not on...
Parise... Parise and Castro Giovanni.
Yes.
Yeah. Castro's got 100 cups.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know we're not on this yet.
Well
just
done.
The sheer mention of Italy-Fiji is making my blood boil a little bit.
We'll get to that, but did you see what Clive Woodward has been come out and said again?
What's Clive said?
He's been at it again. This is since the game at the weekend. This is writing in the paper today in his column in the Daily Mail. Don't really want to mention that.
Immigrants out. Is that what he's saying? No.
Funnily enough, he took a break from the normal diatribe of the Daily Mail and didn't say immigrants
How
out.
How dare you, Tim? How dare you?
He said that he's criticised Stuart Lancaster for being caught up in corporate jargon. He's hit out at corporate Lancaster, basically saying, I'm going to paraphrase here, what are you doing going on about talking about England playing for pride and bulldog spirit and stuff? And Clive Woodward's basically saying that is the bare minimum. And he's basically said, you're being too safe and you're not taking enough risks.
Right, hang on. A couple of things here. First of all, Clive Woodward was criticised him for using too much corporate speak. Well, Clive Woodward was one of the most corporate coaches of all time, I'd have thought. I'd say corporate. He was extremely professional.
I think he was regarded, particularly at the time, it's easy to look back and sort of judge it as it is now, but at the time he was a bit of maverick. In his coaching methods.
I thought he was just bringing like professionalism into the England.
Well, that
setup.
Was maverick at the time. That was completely new.
But it's still professional.
I think basically what he's saying is, stop talking about all these cliches. Bulldog spirit and pride in the shirt. It's not about bulldog spirit and pride in the shirt. It's about taking risks, about tactics, and about...
Cliches is fine. And if he said that, I would agree with him 100%. He's that corporate on the Lions tour. He took Alistair Campbell to be a press secretary.
Here's one quote Clive Woodward said. He'd taken a bit of a swipe at the selection. He said, almost every player is playing for a top team. Would Joel Tompkins have been picked for England if he was playing for Sale or Newcastle?
Absolutely not.
That's actually a good point, because Lancaster got interviewed about the tour to New Zealand next year when the first match on tour is only 7 days after the Premiership final.
Yeah.
And Lancaster jokingly said that he hopes that the Premiership final is between Sale and Newcastle. Because potentially if it was Saracens Leicester or Northampton Leicester or Northampton Saracens, he'd be losing like a third of his squad. I actually think that Tompkins shouldn't have been picked. Like, it's easy to say this with hindsight, but I think they should have gone for Trinder probably. Even though he's not been playing as well in a probably slightly underperforming Gloucester team.
I'd like to see Burrell have a run. I'm not sure we're going to see Eastman running for anyone.
Two in the same mould with Burrell and Tuolagi?
Yeah.
Maybe, but you know, one of them, you know, would you want two Tuolagis? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, true.
Fair enough.
If you had another Manu Tuolagi, I'd take that. New Zealand's win, though, means that they reclaim the Hillary Shield.
Thank God.
And I was trying to work it out today. I think they currently hold every single rugby trophy that they can do. They've got the World Cup, the Rugby Championship, the Bledisloe Cup, the Freedom Cup, the Dave Gallagher Trophy, the Hillary Shield, the IRB Sevens World Series, which they're champions of.
What about the Sevens World Cup?
I'm not
gold
sure.
Medal. Oh no, who was the last gold medalist in the
Commonwealth Games?
Must be them.
Probably New Zealand.
Yeah, just give it to them.
Yeah.
It won't be long till they win the Six Nations.
Well, there we go. That's England-New Zealand put to bed. Basically, I thought New Zealand underperformed and still won, sign of a good team. England actually had a lot of positives.
Particularly in the pack.
Yeah, particularly in the pack. But the backs are a bit concerning. I do think all of the changes had a real negative influence on the team. I don't know if it was coincidental, but Flood replaced Farrell. Tom Young's replaced Dylan Hartley. Ben Young's replaced Lee Dixon.
Yeah.
The thing about Dixon, though, is you wouldn't consider him as the strongest scrum half in England. Yeah, he's starting, but he didn't go on the Lions tour or anything like that. So
no.
You thought bringing on Young's would actually be a reasonable substitution.
Young's form has really dropped compared to last year. Mm. I think that goes for both Young's. Tom Young's line-out throwing, it's been pretty poor. Like both the last two games when he's come on, we've been losing line-out.
I've just thought of a Saracens player that hasn't been involved but is kind of involved in Saracens. Wigglesworth. What on earth has happened to him?
He toured for them. He toured over the summer.
Yeah. Did he?
With England.
He's on the fringe. He's probably fifth in the pecking order.
He's probably in the Saxon squad.
Yeah, well.
Right then, so that's England, New Zealand done with. Jay is itching to talk about Fiji, Italy. A game, if you didn't see it, I can say it was 37-31, and it was surely one of the worst disciplined games that I've ever watched. It was quite incredible.
6 yellow cards, 5 of them were to Fiji, 4 of them were at the same time.
So at one point Fiji had 11 players on the pitch.
Me and Phil watched this.
A couple of them could have been debatable.
I think it's an absolute disgrace. Rugby is going down this kind of line now where everything is so technical and almost litigious in the language. I'm hearing phrases now. This is at my level, at low level. A referee told me the other day, what he's looking for is compliance. What does that even mean? I mean, like, solicitors look for compliance. We're playing a game. Right, you can't, on the one hand, say it's by lesser of the law. And if anyone says it's by the lesser of the law in this conversation, it's going off. I cannot stand that phrase. You can't say, on the one hand, it's on the letter of the law, and then get upset with rugby players when they don't behave within the spirit of the law. The rules or the laws should be enforced within the spirit of the law, not by the letter of the law. You had that situation where the Italian player was held upside down.
Yeah, Quera.
And then put back on his feet. No harm done. No one's injured. In fact, it was one of the safest things that I'd seen all game. Yellow card.
But Castro Giovanni, who went swinging for Quera,
he
threw a couple of punches at him while he was holding the Italian 9. He didn't get anything against.
They should immediately be fired and their betting accounts investigated. I just can't believe. I
mean, Castro should have gone that.
The whole game made me so angry. Well, the Fijians only to lose by, was it 7 points?
Six points. And they played some really good stuff.
Well, here's a question then, related to it, because there was an Italian player who, following the game, had to have his spleen removed following an injury.
I'm not even sure what that does.
Blood filter. It's like a giant lymph node.
But
it's not essential. You can function without it.
So, whilst you've played or whilst you've been watching, what's the sort of worst injury you've seen or unusual injury?
I can tell you about an injury I saw but never happened. So I was playing in school, and I was 2 years younger than the other lads, because, you know, when you get into like sixth form rugby and you go from fifth form to sixth form.
Yeah.
So I was kind of intimidated anyway. And I was running towards one of my teammates who was making a tackle. And he made the tackle around the guy's kind of waist, and then he kind of slipped up and went over his shoulders, grabbed his head, and then pulled off his scrum hat. In that split second, I thought his head had come off and I froze. Missed the offload.
I've seen one. It was playing for Newbury against Reading. And I can remember the guy's name as well. And Andrew Grierson, because I played county rugby with him. And he was a massive, massive prop. Enormous. And one of my teammates got tackled by him, where this guy, Andrew Grierson, the prop, jumped onto his back.
Oh, no.
And instead of just sort of crumpling to a heap, as you would imagine, my teammate's legs were such that they went into a total split. He just did the splits. It was comical and looked one of the most painful things ever. So did
he have to come off? Would he play on?
Yeah, he had to come off. He had proper splits.
Sorry to interrupt, Phil, but this weekend we had a game. Broughton Park played Kirby Lonsdale. Unfortunately, we lost. But during the game, we had a guy who got tackled towards the end of the second half, went down in a heap. Now, Kirby Lonsdale seemed to have got some off-duty St. John's ambulance guy running back and forth. He was obviously very, very cautious. Our player was in such pain that the air ambulance came to pick him up, which doesn't sound funny on the face of it. It's funny when you realise that he got air ambulanced off with a dead leg.
That's amazing!
Anyway.
So he went to hospital in an air ambulance?
Yeah, Warren Duffy went to hospital in an air ambulance with a dead leg.
That's brilliant. And before you share your story, Phil, is this an injury about you? Surely it is. You've sustained most of them.
Yeah, probably. I've had a few bad ones in my time. One of the worst ones, it was a chest injury where my collarbone meets my sternum. And I didn't know, it didn't get diagnosed properly initially, and I didn't know exactly what was the problem. And one of the guys I was playing with at the time, Taffer, who was a Tongan lad, didn't speak very good English. And when I was trying to explain to him where the injury was, he said, "Oh, my friend, he died from that." And I was like, "Taffer, no one's died from this. I've injured my collarbone. It's a bit of joint damage." And then a few weeks later, when I saw a specialist, he said, "Yeah, it's dislocated SC joint, sternoclavicular joint, and it's an anterior dislocation, which means it pops out." Now, he said, "It's a good job. It's not a posterior dislocation, which means it pops in."
Pops in, yeah.
Because what happens, there's a 95% mortality rate.
Oh, my God.
Because,
right.
Because it closes around all the arteries going, leaving your heart. And this is on the left side of my chest.
Oh, my God.
And so it slices all your arteries and you've got virtually no chance. And so I had to go and apologise to Taffer.
For mocking his dead friend.
I basically laughed in his face when he told me his friend had died.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, dear.
There is a picture that we've retweeted at Rugby Podcast there, a reconstruction of the air ambulance injury that JB was talking about with like
Playmobil.
Hey, Warren.
Playmobil characters.
Hey,
yeah.
Warren, get well soon, friend. Get well soon.
Amazing. Right, and let's briefly talk about Australia-Ireland then, because I was hopeful of a better Ireland performance following a good win against Samoa last weekend, but Australia really turned it on. And all that with the backdrop of them going out on the lash midweek.
As one of my Australian friends said, imagine how well they would have played if they were sober.
Oh, how long was this midweek they went out?
It was mid last week.
This is a farce now. Why would they suspend them after the Ireland game? I thought this is an extremely moral stance by the Australian rugby union. Actually, it's not really that moral because they're like, oh, well, you can play this and win it and then we'll deal with it afterwards.
Well, yeah, they're also playing Scotland next weekend. So it's quite convenient to suspend them for the Scotland game.
Well done, ALU or whoever it is.
But Australia looked really good. Mm-hmm. Quade Cooper pulling the strings.
Folau loves to offload everything.
Yeah, at times when he shouldn't have offloaded. Yeah,
offload any time to anyone, including no one.
Yeah. Did you see, there's a couple of funny things. Cummins and Hooper,
mm-hmm.
the lookalike.
No.
They both got the long hair, but they both had like white tape with a black electrical tape over it. And you could not, because they're both running down the wing. They both scored a try each on the left wing in the first half.
It sounds like the time when Moritz Botha and Tom Johnson both wore pink scrum hats and we couldn't work out why Tom Johnson was playing so well.
There's been a few England lookalikes, actually. Ashton and Hartley, I always get those confused. Yeah. And Corbusiero and Brad Barrett.
Yes, and I've got two more for you. Charteris, I keep thinking, is Warburton.
They do look similar, if only about a foot in
height. Yeah, but just get the headshot.
The head,
And the other one is the new Welsh prop. Is it Rodri someone?
Rodri Jones?
And Dan Lydiot.
Yeah.
Lydiot? I thought he was injured.
The other funny thing from Ireland, Australia, did you see their fourth try? 15-man line-out.
Was it?
But New Zealand did that as well. Did you notice? New Zealand putting in wingers and centres.
Yeah.
It's obviously something they've sort of cultivated in the Rugby Championship a bit.
I think it's a bit of it's the last couple of games of the tour and they're kind of having a bit of fun. Whenever you've been on a tour, you've always had funny line-outs, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
It's kind of a bit of a tradition.
Enough, I'm sure I mentioned this last week. I'm certain that Mike Phillips went up in line-out 2 weeks ago.
He may well have done.
I'm certain he did.
Because the first line-out for New Zealand, 2 minutes into the game that they subsequently scored from, Sevilla and Nonu were prepared to lift Carter.
I'd love to watch him lift Carter. Like this serene, calm, wonderful player getting lifted. But because he's not used to it, like doing a starfish, completely uncoordinated, knocking it down, just palming it down.
Ireland failed to recognise it. And so they still had the pretty much full back line lined up across the pitch.
And Australia had a 10-man lineup. Right, it's time for some rugby okey. A musical interlude. Well, it's become a thing. We never realised it would quite spin out this far. But rugby okey is a celebration of rugby players that love to sing.
Mm.
It was initially just a celebration of Alex Corbusiero rapping, wasn't it?
It was.
We're at episode 10 today, and we've had 9 episodes where we've played Alex Corbusiero rapping.
Keep it kind of quiet, people on a diet. Scrum is straight, term is right, I don't deny it. Test me, try it, style you don't buy it. I'ma grab the microphone and start to fly it. Up high, grab the mic and make you cry. Told you before we represent L.I. London, Irish, you can't deny this. So sick of talents, you can't buy this.
Gets better with every listen.
I went for a coffee with a friend of mine the other day. And he said he was humming it on his way to on his way to the kitchen, and then his housemate finished it off.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. The beautiful rugby Oki. Well, we've got a couple this week that have been suggested. The first one, quite a few people picked up on this video that was released by its official Rugby Union TV. And there was a little clip of Joe Marler and Danny Kerr doing a beautiful, touching rendition of the ballad by Adele, Someone Like You.
I heard that you settled down, that you found a girl in your...
What next?
Married now.
Really beautiful, touching.
Nice.
Lovely.
They seem like good lads, actually. Joe Marler seems like a right card.
Yeah, I think now he's growing out with a stupid haircut. Oh, hang on, wait.
He's just growing through the top of his head, out of his chin.
Yeah, he looks good with the beard, though.
Yeah.
He looks like an extra from, like, Lord of the Rings or something.
Well, you said it. He looks like Zangief.
Zangief out of Street Fighter 2.
Oh, Lord, well done, Tim.
Such a good lookalike.
Yeah.
That is good.
Well, this one as well. I mean, this passed us by, but it's from August, and it's from the JP Morgan Sevens when that was on BT Sport when they first launched the channel. And it's Tahir, and I apologise for getting your name wrong, Tahir El Madi, who is a Leicester Tigers Academy player. I don't know how this came about, but after the JP Morgan's Sevens, he sang Marvin Gaye's Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby. If you need me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far, don't worry, baby.
Wow, crowd like that one.
Good voice.
Yeah, lovely voice, lovely pair of pipes. What, other than Alex Corbisiero, have any of them taken your favourite, JB or Phil?
No, not even close, sorry.
I quite like the interaction between Kerr and Marla.
Yeah.
Kerr and Marla? No, what are we watching here?
I thought you made it your own.
No, I think my second favourite is Flutie. I think the worst ones are still Elliot Daly and... Burgess. Burgess. My God, horrendous.
Burgess,
And creepy. That's the worst thing. It was creepy.
It's that bad, and I'm not going to play it again right now, but I will refer you to episode 9 if you didn't hear that one. Right, that's Rugby Oki then. Let's move on. Let's very briefly talk some... Well, I don't know if it's law variations or technological developments or something, but there's some stuff being trialled, isn't there?
In the South African Varsity Cup.
Mm.
The what?
Sounds like an even lower quality competition than the LV Cup. But what are they trialling?
So, two things. They're trialling grippy shirts or grippy areas of shirts for props, so you can get a better bind.
Mm-hmm.
And two referees in the middle.
One in each half or both following the game?
No. So, I was discussing this with one of my housemates who plays hockey, and they have two referees, but they're kind of... They divide the pitch diagonally, and each referee goes in that quadrant.
Oh, right.
Or that section. Mm. But this is two... They have free rein to go wherever they want, and they're both officiating on the same thing at the same time. So for me, this is only going to cause confusion.
Yeah, because interpretation is so varied.
Mm. And you're going to get a lot of times when there's a ruck, one referee's on one side, the other referee's on the other side, they both blow up for penalties, and their arms are pointing in different directions. Is often where there's separate infringements on either side of the ruck.
And then, like you say, the style of different referees, the referee's personality is really different.
They're going to be contradicting each other.
Could understand if it was like one's really focused on the breakdown and set pieces and the other is sort of marshalling back lines and offside lines and stuff like that.
Two types of referee. A referee who is...
A forwards referee and a backs referee.
Right, it's time for Dream 15. So every week we pick a topic then select a 15, selecting a player in shirts 1 to 15 on that topic. This week's, I think, is an inspired suggestion from Phil, who said we should do a food 15. I think this is brilliant. So we'll go 1 through to 15 and create a food 15. As ever, you can always suggest yours. We might have missed one. There's always ones we miss or ones you disagree with. Like, for example, last week on the Should Have Got More Cap, we missed Bentos, John Bentley.
Oh, yes.
Won a Lions series.
Yeah, someone on Twitter advised us of our mistake.
Didn't get an England cap.
Incredible.
I know, amazing. So there we go. We always miss some. So food 15, we'll start with number one then. Prop, front row.
Go on then.
Graham Rowntree.
Good. Oh, yes, excellent. I missed that one.
Tim?
Eric Fry. who plays at London Scottish and is a US Eagles international.
Oh, nice.
And I thought, well, you know, rugby's an expanding world game, so, you know, particularly in like China or Korea or something, Nathan Catt. It was a bit tenuous. Well,
similar one to that is Chris Horseman.
Well, that's in the UK nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I suppose it.
Because I felt this is a little bit easy, I did mine in pairs, so I went for Lawrence Evans and Jason Hobbs. So.
Oh. I kind of want them in.
I like that. I really like that.
Evans and Hobbs. I like that a lot.
I like the
that's inspired
the combination.
And what about a hooker?
The only one I've got is Chili Boy Ralapelli.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Isaiah Mutton.
Who's he play for?
He played for someone in New Zealand and he's now a coach. And throughout my search, I'm pretty sure this guy won't be making it.
How did you search for that? Because you couldn't have known him. Did you just search the word mutton?
I'm not
giving away my trade secrets. And the other guy that I found, I'm sure this guy will not be making it. And I'm not even sure he still plays. But a guy called Max Pepper. Although I did read his name on an under-13s match report from Barnard Castle, so whether he's still playing or not, I don't know. But Max Pepper.
Let's go with Phil's hooker.
Chili Boy Ralapelli.
Yeah, of course.
South African now at Toulouse.
Any locks then?
Bit tenuous. Alex Codling.
Codling? Codling's fine.
Yeah. Codling, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's all right.
I don't really have any locks. I've got loads of back rows, no locks.
I've got Mark Veal from Bristol.
It's nice.
Mark Veal from Bristol, otherwise known as Veely, which is a terrible nickname.
Awful.
That's what Veely. Footballers do to surnames. Veely. Veal and Codling.
Mm.
Into the back row, then.
I've got a condiment-based back row. I've got Matt Salter.
Oh, yeah. How about for back rows, you've got Ali Hogg.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sam Warburton's.
Yeah.
If you want the bread, you had that
very
one clearly.
Good. Very good.
Again, of course, Schalk Burger.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jacques
Burger. Burger. Burger.
You could have two burgers.
Arthur Lemon, does he count?
Where the hell have you got these names from, Jay?
You can't just make up players.
Number 8 for Neath, died 1984.
Died 1984, yeah. Wow.
What about John Hotpot?
Sorry?
I'm just making names up. So I'm just playing JB's game. It's like
they can all be certified.
It's like that monkeys and typewriters thing. If you search on Google, you will find people who have names
who
that
have once played rugby.
Hey, you've got to find them. That's what I'm saying.
Back row, what about Seabass?
Oh, yes.
Sebastian Chabal.
So, what do you fancy out of those back rows then? We've got to have one of the burgers at least. We could have a double burger. I think we'll go double burger. Mm. Burger on each flank. Jacques and Schalk.
Warburton's
number 8. Sam Warburton, number 8.
What?
Scrum half then. Again, following on from the bread theme of Warburton at 8, you could have, is it Darren Allinson? You could have him from London Irish.
Yeah, that's all right.
Maybe one bread brand is enough for a team.
Scrum off?
Dwayne Peel.
Oh, very good.
Oh, yes, let's go Dwayne Peel.
I had another one. I think
great
Welsh,
one.
Or is he? He's New Zealand. Jason Spice.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Good player.
Yeah, good one as well.
Yeah, New Zealand have played in Wales. I think it was Newport Gwent Dragons he played for, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he played for Bristol for a bit. I like that. I think we'll go Dwayne Peel. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Fly half then.
Ryan Lamb.
Yeah.
I think we all knew that one was coming.
The only other man I had was Joanne Goosen.
Mm. Nice.
But, yeah, Ryan Lamb, definitely.
And into the centres we go.
I've got a pair of centres for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sean Bass, centre, and currently York head coach, did play centre.
Can we have players that people know,
no,
Jay?
No, they do know. They do know. And Jamie Salmon, have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, he was an old England international back in the day.
And All Black.
England and All Black?
Yeah.
Was he... What?
I think he was a commentator for a while.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, it's like 7 caps for All Blacks and like 20 for England or something.
I've got a suggestion for centre as well.
Yeah.
Tom Good. Cheeseman.
Yeah.
Tom
Cheeseman. Will Colling.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a... drink 15 another day.
I think that's definitely one for the future.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of other centres. Jeff Appleford.
Ooh.
Nice.
Former England centre and... another former England centre from the 70s, David Duckham. Two Two yes. food types.
A legend, one of the best wingers yeah. ever.
And two food types in his last name.
Oh, yeah.
Duck ham. Duck oh, ham. That's a... That's
potential a, captain.
A fullback, right? It's not a food, but it definitely could be a food. Mark Mapletoft. I could imagine that serving Mapletoft
maple.
Ice cream.
Oh, maple.
Or, yeah. you know, Mapletoft cheesecake. It sounds like a flavour of Ben and Jerry's.
Rob Cook.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely Rob Cook. Works well with Hobbs and Hobbs and Evans.
I had David Pears, who was
nice
England fullback in the 1990s.
Yeah. Josh Bassett's Josh Bassett.
Yeah.
could have been a winger as well. We got so what did we go for also for centres? What did you like? It was Jamie Salmon.
Yeah, I like Salmon
and Tom Cheeseman.
Yeah, happy with that. Unless we have Duckham in there.
Well, Duckham's a,
David. Duckham.
I think Duckham was primarily a winger. So he,
okay.
Wing. Decide on our winger. We'll put a 15 up, and you can say what you think about it.
Has anyone got a coach?
No.
Ooh.
Oh wow,
ooh,
ooh. Coach. Well, there is Cockerell.
Oh, Cockerell. Yeah.
I can't think of
go
one.
Go on, Phil.
Declan Kidney.
Oh, yes.
Damn. Yes. So obvious.
Inspired. That's brilliant. Well done.
Plumtree. That's the one I was thinking of.
Plumtree. Who's he?
Is it John Plumtree?
Coach of the
South
Africa. The Natal
oh
Sharks.
Yes, yeah.
Coach of the Natal Sharks.
Kind of a big deal.
Very good one.
I like that. I still like Declan Kidney.
I like Declan Kidney more.
Cool. That's our 15. As ever, contribute your own thoughts and let us know what you reckon. That is it for episode 10 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Do subscribe, hit that subscribe button on iTunes, and then the next one will get delivered straight to you. And what is coming next is on Friday, our short little podcast, Thank Rockets Friday, previewing the weekend's action, and it's a return to Premiership Rugby in addition to more internationals as well. So plenty to talk about on Friday. See you next time. Right, a bit of rugby okey to play us out then. You picked last time, JB. Phil, what do you want to have singing us out?
Can I just choose Corbusiero?
Yeah, of course you can.
Keep it kind of quiet, people on a diet. Scrum is straight, term is right, I don't deny it. Test me, try it, style you don't buy it. I'ma grab the microphone and start to fly it. Up, up, high, grab the mic and make you cry. Told you before we represent L.I. London Irish, you can't deny this. So, so sick of tenants, you can't buy this.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.